The game is over when the horn sounds. The analysis ends when you say it does. This is Overtime Open Line. Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. And now, the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 chance.
McDavid in front. Scores! There it is! 50 for Zach Hyman right at the side of the net, and Edmonton has a 3-1 lead.
Players stoked for Zach Hyman. The relentless work ethic to continuously improve at his craft. Wow. Connor McDavid. Bouchard's third assist of the game. All five Oilers players touched the puck on Hyman's 50th. Absolute beauty.
Well, that's the good news. Zach Hyman with an incredible milestone. He gets his 50th goal of the season in the Oilers' 69th game of the year. And the Oilers were looking good at that point, up 3-1 early in the second period. But the bad news is the Oilers didn't score the rest of the game, and the Senators scored four times to beat Edmonton 5-3, even though the Oilers had a 36-16 advantage in shots on goal. The shot attempts, so that factors in the shots that went wide and the shots that were blocked, were 67-32 in favor of the Oilers, but they do not get it done. Power plays a big part of that. As we update the power play stats for Conlon Motorsports to help get you out there, visit one of Conlon Motorsports' four locations across Alberta or online at conlonmotorsports.ca. The Senators got the game winner on a power play late in the third. They went 3-for-4, Edmonton 2-for-3. Here's Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch.
Just to kind of digest that, what's your initial reaction after a game like that?
Disappointing that we didn't come up with 2 points. I thought we had a lot of good opportunities, especially we're up 3-1, and you know, things were looking good, and we made a mistake, and 3-2, and now they're back in it when it looked like they're out of it. And then you know, special teams, obviously that was a big part of this game.
What were your thoughts on the Vincent Desharnais call that led to the Drake Batherson goal?
I didn't see it, let's just say that.
Hyman scores 50. The team got a pretty good jump on him. It looked like everybody was pretty happy for him.
It was. And, yeah, you get those milestones. You don't know how long you're going to be stuck on it, snake bitten, and then, you know, you don't get it for a couple games. That pressure builds up. But obviously, Zach didn't take him very long. He just moved on, just continue scoring. And team feels so happy for him, you know. And, you know, to do a feat like that, especially at his point of his career, everyone very proud of him.
When the group gives a reaction like that as an NHL head coach, what does that signify to you?
I, on the bench, I got goosebumps. I was so happy. It was nice to see a guy, a hardworking, honest guy, reach a milestone like that, and how close the guys are and how happy they were for him.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that's Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch at the mic for Edmonton International Airport. Fly nonstop to over 50 destinations. Fly EIA.com/nonstop. The Oilers will be flying to Winnipeg for a game on Tuesday. That will be a couple of angry and maybe embarrassed teams. The Oilers losing two games this weekend by the score of 11-6, if you add them together. The Jets have lost three straight by the combined score of 13-4, including 9-3 in their two games on the weekend. So that's the matchup coming up on Tuesday night. It is 6:57. Along with Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins for Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Well, Rob, let's start with the positive story today. I think we got to talk about it, even though it's a loss, because it's been such a storyline here, especially as he's gotten into the 40s for the last couple of weeks. Hyman gets to 50. What a moment.
It is, and good for him. I mean, he's a guy that we've talked about all the time that you want your kid to emulate. He's a guy that comes, works hard, doesn't complain, does all the dirty things, gets in front of the net. He'll dig in the corners. He's tenacious, doesn't give up on a play. And then he's just as good defensively. I think when the Oilers signed him, if he would have been 25 to 35 goal scorer for the duration of his contract, you'd be tickled pink. You're like, okay, that's the kind of guy we got because of all the intangibles he brings. He's a good person, he's a good teammate, does all the little things that make you a better hockey team. But then to throw in the fact that he's continuing to improve as a player and as a goal scorer, I mean, as we said between periods, this might not be the benchmark a month from now they're talking about. His 50th goal, you might be talking about his 60th. It's still within range. So good on him. And it was funny, Chris Knobloch talked about it. If it would have gone a game or two or three games and he's still sitting on 49, the pressure would mount. 100% it would. It'd be in the back of his head, but he just goes about his business. He gets his opportunities. Tonight he had one. He could have had five. I like when good things happen to good people, and I'm not sure I've ever heard anybody say anything but incredible positive things about Zach Hyman. So good on him, and he should be very proud of this accomplishment.
Yeah, Hyman's 50th for McDavid and Bouchard on the power play at 3:34 of the second period. That is how it will go into the record book. Awesome moment. You saw how happy all his teammates were for him. I thought Draisaitl was going to pick him up and throw him into the stands. He was so excited. But that was the high point of the game for Edmonton. I mean, Stutzel answered quickly after that, just a minute 14 later, Rob. So I know the Oilers were still enjoying a lead at that point, but Ottawa felt a little better about themselves being down one instead of two. Batherson scored late in the second period on the power play. And then you referenced it with Bob. Kind of a funny stat. The shots on goal were 5-4 for the Oilers in the third period, but they had the puck more than 5/9 of the time. I can tell you that. Probably 9/10 of the period. But, Ekholm is called for holding Joseph. It takes Ottawa 9 seconds to score on the power play. Chychrun set up by Batherson with a cross-slot pass. Again, that one not quite as fancy or delicate as that first one. But the Oilers just couldn't keep it out of their net. Rob, I think some sloppy play again in the first two periods. Couldn't kill a penalty. A rare off night for Pickard. Needed a save or two, and then they give up five.
Well, let's go back to the point of the game where Hyman scores to make it 3-1. And at that point, the Oilers were all over the Senators. It was men versus boys. And when they scored, they skipped back-to-back goals. It's 3-1. The Senators are just hanging on. And then the Oilers gave up three straight two-on-ones. And Stutzel scored on the one, a really nice shot. He almost scored on the second, and then they had a third one. They had 3 2-on-1s. You're nursing a 3-1, then a 3-2 lead. You don't give up those opportunities against. On the power play goal, it was a weak call on Vinny, 100% it was. But you got to kill those off. And I think it was Batherson that scored that one. When he got the puck, he skated from about 5 feet inside the blue line and walked right in on Pickard. The two Oilers overcommitted to Tkachuk, who was on the boards on his knees. And the other two Oilers stayed away from Batherson. So the Oilers played well enough to have scored five or six. But they gave up four, and you can't always expect that your chances are going to go in. So you have to limit what goes against you. And the Oilers, the penalty killing was not good. They gave up odd man rushes. Again, the one thing that has killed this Oilers team the last couple of years has been big mistakes. And in tonight's game, they made some big mistakes.
Yeah, and I think that's the frustration here, Rob, is that the season started poorly. And I thought Bob made an interesting comment that this weekend looked a little bit like the beginning of the year. I don't know if it's quite that poor, because that was pretty poor, but I think it's fair to say there are some similarities. And you know, look, the 16-game winning streak was incredible. I'm not saying that's going to be should be a standard, but they kept the goals against down, right? And, and even some nights where you're saying, well, they're not playing that great, or they're not maybe defending as cleanly as you would like, it was still better than this. It was still, you know, more responsible. It was still, okay, a guy's caught a little bit out of position, and now there's two guys in the right space, so it's not a disaster. And now we're seeing, you know, okay, there's a pinch. There's a guy, okay, covering no one. He's beaten. Well, two other guys also don't really seem to know where they're going to be. So, look, they're not the only team that's imperfect, but with the playoffs on the horizon, I get it that we're probably going to hear from some fans who are a little bit concerned or just maybe mystified? Like, isn't this more the buckle down time of year here?
Well, it's funny. We the last couple of games on home ice against Montreal and Buffalo, and after the games, there was excitement because they had the 5-goal third period against Buffalo, and they had the overtime win against Montreal. But I cautioned after the game, I didn't think the Oilers played well in those games. I thought Montreal was the better team. The Oilers just had the better players. In the Buffalo game, through 40 minutes, it was terrible defensive hockey by the Oilers. And in the third period, they stepped on the gas and they beat a Buffalo team that couldn't defend at all. But there were parts of their games that you didn't like. Well, they brought that into Toronto, and Toronto took advantage of poor defensive play because Toronto's good. And tonight against Ottawa, Ottawa really generated nothing. Offensively, they didn't get in a forecheck and out-battle the Oilers or have some unbelievable one-on-one plays where they created something of their own. It was big mistakes by the Oilers. They got 3 2-on-1s. There was the Senators did nothing to get the 2-on-1s. It was the power play goal. Nice play by Tkachuk, but Batherson is wide open. And then on the two power play goals to Chychrun, there's no one backdoor to take Chychrun who's coming down. And the players that made the passes had all the time in the world to make the pass. The first, there was a nice saucer pass, there was a nice cross box pass, but both players had time to examine what was available. Mm-hmm. Where can I go to? Okay, I can look there. Nope. Second option, third option. And the Oilers, when they are successful penalty killing, they're aggressive. So tonight's game, the energy and the excitement and the work ethic were all good for the Oilers, and they easily could have had, this could have been a 6-4, 6-5 game for the Oilers, but they gave up four against an Ottawa team that's not very good, that only had 16 shots. So that's the part right now you're thinking, okay, that's two nights in a row on the road that we were not good defensively.
Yeah, and we talked about it last night too. If great to have three goals in the third period against Toronto, but I mean, you needed five to tie it. Eventually, they got an empty netter. And I kind of know this, they were tied going to the third period, but I'm kind of left with the same feeling. Like, if the Oilers were more conscientious yesterday, maybe it's 2-0 Toronto after two. You know, some nights you might not score, you might not get that offensive break, but those goals in the third period would have meant something. And then the way this game went, Rob, if the Oilers take even a 3-2 lead into the third period, I mean, it's probably over, right? Because Edmonton was all over them. So, yeah, it's those moments, those costly moments. And I reference Pickard. I mean, that's an ugly stat for him tonight, 11 out of 15. But I sort of feel with the way he has been playing pretty much every other start this season, you wish it was a night. Like, he's bailed the Oilers out a lot this season. I feel like, and I'm not trying to say, again, his stats tonight aren't good, but I'm kind of left saying this should have been a night his teammates bailed him out after what he's done for them.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It was... they were a little derelict when it came to the defensive play. And I can see where Bob talked about this resembling kind of the beginning of the season where the Oilers tried to outscore their mistakes. And when you try to outscore your mistakes, that means you're a lot of those nights you're trying to score five because your big mistakes are finding the back of your net. So as much as the Oilers got goalied, or Korpisalo was fantastic, and he was, they still gave up four goals against a bad Ottawa team. That means the Oilers needed five to win this hockey game. That's way too many goals to be giving up. And that's after a night where they gave up five goals in Toronto. So this is not the team that was finding success a little while ago. That team was winning 3-2 and 2-1 and keeping the games low scoring. I think they've gotten a little way, and go back a little bit further, they gave up three to Buffalo. So this is the defensive part of the game's got away from them a little bit. And it's going to need a reset because they showed their schedule, and I'm sure you saw it too on the TV screen. They got some good teams coming up.
Yep.
Good teams that'll take advantage of you if you're derelict with your defensive duties.
Well, and to reference what Ottawa did today, and look, we know, like, it's an offensive era of hockey. Even awful teams, you know, usually their top three or four offensive players are still pretty good, and Ottawa has that. But despite that, Rob, I mean, their power play was under 17% coming into tonight, you know, 16.7%, and they go 75% in this game against the Oilers.
Well, and two of the power plays took a combined under 20 seconds.
Right.
I mean, very quickly they scored on them. The problem is when you're struggling or having some struggles down the stretch, all the other teams that you're going to be playing in the playoffs are watching. You know, what are their tendencies? What are they doing wrong? How are these teams beating them? Okay, they just gave up three against Ottawa on the power play. What did Ottawa do? Okay, let's put that into our game plan when we play against them. They're watching the video. So the Oilers need to they just need to find their game. I just don't think they've been good defensively for a while. I know that their record was pretty good, 9-2-1 or whatever it was, until these two games. But there were some of those games that they played bad teams and probably didn't deserve the extra point that they got. They're going to start playing better teams here for the next 10 games. And then obviously they're going to play better teams come playoff time. And some of the things that made them successful middle of the season, they're not doing. And that's sound defensive hockey and great penalty killing. When they won 16 in a row, now again, we're not expecting that. But when they won 16 in a row, their penalty killing was, 93%? And it was winning them games. And we haven't seen that in a bit.
Yeah, 5-3, the Senators take it tonight. If you are just joining us, well, you've probably heard by now, but Zach Hyman does get to 50, so an awesome moment for him. Bouchard gets three assists, so he has 12 assists in his last seven games, but it is the Senators. A couple of power play goals from Jacob Chychrun. He got their first goal of the game. He got their fourth goal of the game, which turned out to be the game winner. So 5-3, Senators get their 30th victory of the season. They're 30-36-4. The Oilers 42-23. 3-4. Been a tough goal for Ottawa lately, just their fifth win in their last 15, so they'll celebrate this one tonight. Let's head back to Ottawa. Here he is, Zach Hyman. We'll get to that in a second, Rob, as just if you heard some noise in the background, I just flipped over to the Flames and Buffalo game, as we are going to get Hyman's reaction to his 50th goal. So he tops your best season by one. you're a tragic 49 goal scorer, of course. What was the closest? What was the one you had disallowed? Went off your chest or something, and they waved it off?
Went off
was that
belly.
450 was, or was that earlier in the year?
It was before 50. Okay. It hit Ron Hextall in the chest, hit me in the belly, and went in. And then the ref, I used to know his name for a long, long time.
I think
Can't
it was Denny
right
Morrell.
Now. Yeah, that was it. Denny Morrell, he actually said that I propelled it into the net with my belly, which, first of all, I don't think is against the rules. Second of all, I didn't.
Have a belly. You're in pretty good shape.
Well, I might have just a small one. I remember one year I went to LA's training camp and we had to walk through the line and meet the coaches and we're just in our shorts. And I remember Barry Melrose, he's like, "Oh my God, you got ribs." And so I was like, "Oh, yeah, words out." I was a little chubby at one point.
All right. That's a little bit from Rob. And here, will you have Hyman now, Angie? Okay, perfect. Here's Hyman.
Zach, I mean, you look at the shot clock, 36-16. You guys seemingly had the puck all night. What was the difference that led to a 5-3 loss?
It just felt like they capitalized on our mistakes. They were really good on the power play, obviously, there. They had two really nice goals. It felt like, when we gave up the chances, they were grade-A chances, so it was tough on picks. Just one of those games where, the chances you gave, hurt you.
Did the game last night leave a dent? Because there was some big mistakes last night, less of them tonight, but still, when you made one tonight, it was in your net.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, I think every game's a new game. You try to turn the page, you try to regroup, reset. I thought we got off to a good start, actually, last night. And then I think, again, they capitalized on mistakes. And then tonight, again, I thought we were in a good spot in the game, obviously, and then they capitalized and made us pay on our mistakes.
You've been waiting for this 50th. We've all thought it would come eventually. What was it like? What's it like watching the 50th puck go on an NHL goal?
It's pretty cool. It's a special moment, obviously, for me and my family. I mean, I think when I said it before, but when you become an NHL player, so many people have sacrificed and who've driven you to rinks, my parents and, my uncles. Like, everybody chips in to help you when you're a professional athlete at this level. There's so many people who sacrificed, my wife, watching kids by herself half the time. And they all, I think it means just as much or more to them just to see you have success. And obviously this is a milestone that, you know, I don't think anybody thought I would ever get to when I started my career. And I mean, I got to it, which is pretty crazy, honestly, and had a lot of help. I played with a couple special players, especially Connor, and I wouldn't be in this position without him, and I thought it was fitting that he was able to set me up for it.
Did you ever think in your wildest dreams you'd be a 50-goal scorer, like before about 3 months ago?
I try not to think, you know, long-term, like... My career's kind of always been, you know, let's just achieve what's ahead of us, right? I was in university, I had 2 goals my first year. I was drafted, and nobody thought I was going to be, you know, I was just a draft pick. I was no longer a prospect, and everybody kind of wrote me off. And then I started to score again, and then all of a sudden, you know, I was an NHL player, but I was an NHL player who had no hands and was a grinder playing next to, you know, Austin and Willie. And that was kind of the narrative. And then... I scored 10 goals and then 15 and then 20 and then, oh, he's an okay player. He just plays with good players. And I still have that narrative, which is great, you know, and it's awesome. Like, I think it just shows, like, you just hit little milestones along the way and you just block out outside noise and you work really hard and you have a positive attitude and good things happen.
It was a special moment for you, but also a very special moment for this group. What did your teammates' reaction mean to you?
Yeah, it was special. Leon was right next to me and just saw the excitement on his face. He knows, you know, how hard it is to get there and for him to be on the ice, and Connor, you know, 250 goal scorers, and to, you know, to be, join them. And then I got to the bench. Perry gave me a big hug and welcomed me to the club too, which was just special, like, to have teammates that care that much about you, to share in your milestones and your successes. Yeah, it's what the game's all about. It's really a family in here, and everybody cares about each other.
Do you have any family, like, make the trip up here knowing you were one goal away to watch? Or?
My cousin Andy. So he's, Gian, you'd know him. Yeah, he comes to a bunch of games. My family was back at home. They were at the game yesterday. But cousin Andy took the train up, made the trip, and he's here, so I'll go see him after.
Well, that's cool for Cousin Andy, first of all, Rob. I haven't had a lot of people at the game yesterday. Good for Cousin Andy.
Well, you know what, though, Reed, seriously, like, listening to him talk, how can you not cheer for him? Like, really, like, just, he might be the nicest person in the National Hockey League, and he's found success. And I know he talked about playing with great players. Now, and I mean this with all honesty, he benefits from playing with Connor McDavid, no doubt about it. But Connor McDavid benefits also from playing with Zach Hyman. He is that good of a complementary player to Connor McDavid. Opens things up for him. He's got great finish. Keeps plays alive. So he is no longer a player that plays with good players. He is a great player in the National Hockey League that plays with other great players.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, Rob. And Zach Hyman is our fourth star tonight for Jandell Homes, Alberta's premier modular home retailer. The 3 stars all selected off the home team. Korpisalo, number 1. Chikrin with 2 goals, number 2. And Drake Batherson, who has crafted out a pretty nice career for himself. Rob, I got to admit, I didn't know a ton about him when I first saw him playing with the Senators. He's the 3rd star tonight. He had a goal and 2 assists in 18:03 of ice time. Ottawa beating the Oilers 5-3. But, despite the Hyman milestone, tough night for Edmonton, having trouble keeping the puck out of their own net. You're going to hear from Connor McDavid, and you can check in at 780-496-0063. That is the hotline powered by CertainTe, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling system. CertainTe Pro all the way. This is Heartland Ford, overtime open line.
Live Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers, 630 Chad.
for Ekholm. It was too far for him on the left. It'll come in over the line, right to Connor Brown. And it comes in front to Carrick. Oh, what a save made by Korpisalo. Carrick absolutely robbed after a three-way passing play between Derek Ryan, Connor Brown, and Sam Carrick.
Got to put that in the net if you're Sam Carrick. It's a great save by Korpisalo, but still, put the puck in the goal there.
Well, we give the save of the game for Crystal Glass. Call 310 Glass or visit crystalglass.ca to the other team's goalie today. Korpisalo, that was a stop on Carrick, and then Brown with about 5.5 minutes left in the first period. He stops 33 out of 36. Stop McDavid on a power play early in the second period. The Oilers would score on that man advantage. Fogle right in front early in the third. Nugent Hopkins fired a couple off the post. Rob, this has turned into a tough go here. For I know he's still an important player on the team. He hasn't scored in 13 games. He hasn't scored since February 26th.
It has. But just before I get to Nugent Hopkins, I'm giggling when Bob says Carrick has to score on that one. He's got to put it in the back of the net. And then we'll say the other end, well, Pickard's got to make the save on that one. When Carrick tried putting the puck in the back of the net, that was a fantastic save. So I always giggle when someone says, well, he's got to put that in. Well, he's got to put it past a goaltender who's trying to make the big save. So to me, Carrick did what he was supposed to do, but Korpisalo was just a little better. As for Nuge, snake bitten. He's hitting posts, like wide open shots. He's getting the opportunities. If I were him, I'd shoot more. I think that on the power play, he's got that great shot from up top on his onside where he pulls it back and it's a wrist shot. I'd shoot more just to get more pucks on net, more opportunities. But think about the Oilers up until these two games have had a really, really good record. And in that those games, as you said, Nugent Hopkins, 13 games without a goal. I think Evander Kane is 16 games without a goal.
Today.
Yeah, he didn't play tonight. But that's two guys that are in your top six normally that have gone a combined 29 games without a goal. Yet the Oilers are still finding a way to win hockey games. So that's a positive because you got to feel that both Kane and Nugent Hopkins will get going. I like a lot about RNH's game. He's just a little snake bit. And you could see the one late in the game that went off the post, the frustration as he almost cross-checked the backboards. He was so mad that one didn't go in the net for him. So it'll come. Hopefully he's just saving them for the playoffs.
Zach Hyman, one of two players to get to 50 today. Sam Reinhart does it for the Panthers in a 4-1 win over the Flyers. The scoreboard update presented by Advantage Trailer Rentals, your one-stop source for commercial trailer rentals. Visit AdvantageTrailerRentals.com. Hurricanes get by the Maple Leafs 2-1. Devils beat the Islanders 4-0. Capitals over the Jets 3-0. So I mentioned not a good weekend for the Jets either. They play the Oilers on Tuesday. Penguins were up 4-0, but they lose 5-4 in overtime to the Avalanche. Peyton Krebs, a goal, 4:53 into the first period. Now halfway through the first, Buffalo leading Calgary 1-0. Ducks lead the Lightning 1-0 after one. Second period, Dallas with a 2-1 edge on Arizona. And the Canadiens lead Seattle 2-0. That game not yet 10 minutes old. The Oil Kings closed out their season with a 6-3 win over Red Deer. The Oilers farm team, Bakersfield, losing 4-3 to Ontario. Holloway scored in that game. And Canada wins gold at the Women's World Curling Championship. Rachel Holman's ranked with a 7-5 victory over Switzerland. And right here on 630 CHED, Oilers lose 5-3 to the Senators. We'll go to the Certainty Hotline. We have Frank standing by. Frank, go ahead, please.
Hey, guys. Wow. A couple of games that I guess we need to flush. And hopefully they'll do that. My comments, I'm going to channel my inner Bob Stauffer because I had occasion to listen to him tonight. He's quite animated usually, but today he really took a run at the officials. And my comment is not about the officiating in this game, but the fact that it's going to be inconsistent. How do you prepare your players, I guess, when you know that the officiating, you know, come the playoffs is not going to be consistent? And the last comment is going to be, boy, if I had a dollar for every time Stauffer said, Bouchard's got to shoot the puck. It's an easy street right now.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, go ahead, guys.
All right. Thanks, Frank.
As far as Bouchard, if he decides to shoot the puck every time it goes on his stick, I don't think anyone on the Oilers bench or coaching staff would mind either. He's that dangerous with a shot with the puck on his stick. As for reffing, players, they'll get frustrated all the time during games with calls, but then they forget about it. you can only control what you control. You can't control what the ref does. I can tell you from listening to other teams post games, every team calls, has fans that call in and say the refs screwed their team over. Tonight the Ottawa Senators fans will be finding fault in the referee just as much as the Edmonton Oilers fans are. So when you're cheering for a team, you only see the faults and the mistakes the refs make that affect your team. As for playoffs, if you're focused on what the refs are calling, if it's going to affect the way you play, then you're going to find yourself in a lot of trouble. You focus on playing your game. And if the ref makes a bad call, go kill the penalty. I mean, that's what happened tonight. They made a bad call on Vinny Desharnais. The Oilers didn't go and kill the penalty. So you can't really focus on what's out of your control, and most referees' calls are out of your control.
Yeah, I know we had a call about the officiating last night, and I think the point the gentleman made too was, why don't they just call the rule book? But to me, that's a different debate than saying an individual game was poorly officiated. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I've said it to you 1,000 times that I think they let too much cross-checking go. Other people would say, no, it's interference. So that's a debate. I thought this game, the Vinny call wasn't a great call. Very bizarre that neither team knew who was getting a penalty in the first minute of the third period. But, you know, they called Ottawa.
And there was a penalty behind, I thought a cross check behind the net was a weak one, or was that last night, one of the two, against the opposition. So every team will just see what they see that affects their team. The Vinny one, that was terrible. It absolutely was terrible. But you play through it. Referees are just like players. They make mistakes. And if you let it affect you, well, then you're going to find yourself having a hard time focusing on winning hockey games. So you play through those things and you deal with whatever. It's like when the puck bounces wrong. If it's supposed to bounce toward you, it bounces away from you. If you get upset by that, well, then you're weak mentally. So I think for as far as referees go, don't give them the opportunity to make the mistakes. And then if they do make one, play through it.
All right, Oilers lose 5-3. We have Bob on the Certainty Hotline. Bob, thanks a lot for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how's it going tonight, guys?
Good.
Just a couple of quick points. Watching the last two games, Ottawa-Toronto just played a little more physical game against Edmonton, and it showed. There's a couple players on the Oilers team where the play just dies on their stick. When is Knobloch going to hold these players accountable? Like, I'm not saying you got to stick handle to five guys to get to the net.
Which two guys, Bob, just out of curiosity?
I hate saying it, but McLeod and Fogel, every time they got the puck on their stick, the play just dies. I've been watching games all year, and more often than not, the play dies on their stick. They got to do a better job thinking the game.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting comment. I mean, Fogel's having a really good year. He's not a setup guy,
isn't he?
He's not a setup guy. Right, you want him to skate and hit and finish. I think with Fogel's fast too, but McLeod maybe transports it a little more, so you want him to make something happen, perhaps.
Yeah, I agree, but I mean, they are what they are. Ryan McLeod, we would think, is a third line player that you would hope that some way finds 12 to 15 goals a year, but he's not top six. He's been put into that position at times because the Oilers have struggled to find guys to play with Leon. And Warren Fogel, I mean, he's having a career year. This is the best year he's ever had offensively. So, I mean, sometimes you get spoiled watching Connor and Leon and Nugent Hopkins and Hyman and the things they can do when the puck's on their stick. Most players can't. And we see that on a night-to-night basis with the teams they play against and some of the guys on their own team. But I think that McLeod at times has been put up too high in the lineup. I think he's a third line player. And if he's on your third line, I think you're a better hockey club. When he's up on your top six, I think that's when sometimes he gets exposed.
All right. Senators beat the Oilers 5-3. We'll get to more of your phone calls. You're also going to hear from Connor McDavid. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers. Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Try to settle at the hash marks, right side, into the corner, to the left wing, point to Bouchard, pulls to the middle of the ice, doesn't have a shooting lane, dishes, and Ekholm walks in, down the left side, in front of the net, scores! Ekholm to Henrique, and it's 1-0 Edmonton.
All right, the Oilers did take the lead. They lost 5-3 to the Senators. That was the only goal today scored by a forward not named Draisaitl, McDavid, or Hyman. Draisaitl and Hyman got the other two Oilers goals. I set the line at 2.5 for River Cree Resort and Casino. Excitement bet on it by goals scored by other than those three guys for the Oilers. Who got it, Angie? Who won? It's Dean. Okay, so Dean gets the $50 River Cree Resort and Casino gift card. 5-3, Senators over the Oilers. We have Alex on the Certainty Hotline. Alex, go ahead, please.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Well, my thoughts are is that there's, you know, last couple of games, there's lots of Oilers that are underperforming, you know, whether it's defensively or a cohesive unit. And I'm not panicking right now, but I would have thought by now that since the trade deadline that this team would be, you know.
Okay, I think we lost you, Alex.
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Well, I thought I'm not in panic mode right now. I think there's a lot of Oilers that are underperforming, you know, especially defensively, and including all their big guns defensively. The one thing, you know, I'd like to see by the end of this season, and they still got a hell of a ride to go here. I think they play three back-to-back games. They got, you know, it's going to be a tough grind, and I just wanted to make sure that this team is healthy by the end of it. I have a question for you guys. If you wanted to put on your coach's hat, who would you like to see play with each other? Because I still don't think they have this batting lineup figured out, and the Black Aces are going to come up come playoff time. Who would you like to see come up?
Well, they'll bring up Gagne. They'll bring up Holloway. My guess is they'll bring up Lavoie. And then on the back end, they'll bring up Broberg and Gleason, I guess it is. Is that who's down there?
Yeah, I guess so.
As for lines, it's funny. They're still searching that out. We've heard a lot when they traded or when they fired the coach that when Knobloch came in, one of the things everyone was talking about, okay, this guy keeps all the lines together. That's good. That's too much was with Woodcroft. They're changing it too much. I think they're actually changing them more now with Knobloch than they did with Woodcroft at the end. It's every game it's starting as one and then changing and halfway through and going to different lines. I would have thought by now that they would have started put towards lines that they think that they want to start a series with. But we haven't really seen that to me. And I think that, and a lot of fans probably don't want to hear it. I think they actually might start the series, whatever they play in the first round with Draisaitl playing with Connor McDavid on the same line. Just the way that every time they seem to get into a bit of trouble, that's where they go to. That's where they feel is their best chance of winning when things aren't going right. But I would have thought, Reed, by now, you would have seen a little more consistency with the lines, trying to see if they could find some chemistry over the last 12, 13 games so teams go play or the lines go into the playoffs feeling comfortable with each other.
Yeah, I mean, I've said a lot, and I know McDavid, whatever line McDavid is on, usually tilts the ice. But I like Nugent Hopkins, McDavid, and Hyman together. I still think I know Kane's had a very up-and-down season, but sometimes when he and Hyman are on the ice at the same time and maybe in the playoffs, that's going to click a little bit more. Perry got that one shift today with McDavid and Draisaitl. I wonder how mm-hmm. he's going to be used in the postseason. So I don't know. I really don't know what they're thinking. I mean, again, I like McDavid, Nugent Hopkins, and Hyman together because if they're not, well, they're one of the best lines in the NHL this season. I know there's a couple other teams that would make arguments, but they've certainly been up there.
Well, I agree with that. But then you're with, okay, who's playing with Leon?
Well, that's the one thing, right?
And what we haven't seen in quite a while is Leon with Kane. that hasn't been put together. And you would think...
Well, we saw them together on the bench yesterday.
Yeah, they had a conversation, and it was well played on Sportsnet. So it's who is going to play. Like tonight, we saw Henrik playing with Leon, and he looked good. The problem, if you put Henrik there, well, now your third line's not as good because Henrik is a smart, smart hockey player that if he's on your third line, you feel really comfortable with. So I don't know where they're going to go. And that's why it's been interesting these last few games is we haven't seen any hint at what you would see game one or game 83 of the season because they've changed so often over the last, you know, couple of weeks.
5-3, the Senators beat the Oilers today. And, yeah, we've talked about this before, too. Alex referenced the busier schedule ahead. For most of the season, the Oilers have played the fewest games in the league or been one of the teams with the fewest or the second fewest games played. And we've talked about, Rob, they don't just make that up in the last month of the season. They make that up in the last week and a half of the season. The Oilers play six games in the final nine games of the season. So they're going to play games 77 through 82, while some teams are probably just playing 80, 81, and 82. So, yeah, I think that's concern about fatigue, chance for injury. We talked about that the other night as well. Three goals for the Oilers today. So that's a $300 donation to 630 Ched Santa's Anonymous from James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. Fill in the net with $100 to Santa's every time the Oilers score. We have Norm on the Certainty Hotline. Go ahead, Norm.
Thanks for taking my call. I got a couple questions for Rob, seeing he's been in an NHL dressing room before. Just watching the last three games after seeing Evan Bouchard's mistakes against Colorado and Toronto, where he's having problems tying guys up in the corners and the teams end up scoring. What would the coaches say to the guy in the dressing room after the game or the next practice?
It probably wouldn't be after the game. It would be before the next practice. They would show video one-on-one where he would go in probably with Paul Coffey and they would look at some video or they would talk about it on the ice. Evan Bouchard has so much upside and obviously 70 points or whatever he's got on the season right now is shows the ability that he has when the puck's on his stick, but he still has some shortcomings and that's in his own zone, some of his reads. Some of his routes towards pucks, and a great example was the one against one against McKinnon the other night. But it would be conversations probably with Paul Coffey, and it would be usually the next day. The player knows when he makes a mistake. You don't have to tell him on the bench. You don't have to tell him in the dressing room, but you address it the next day. And when it becomes over and over again, well, that's when you have to have a sit down and show a lot more video and a lot more teaching. And I think Evan Bouchard is getting that teaching from Paul Coffey.
Yeah, no doubt, offensively, he's great. But defensively, he's got so many shortcomings from what I see and watch. And he's pretty weak defensively, for sure. And do you think that he's going to pick up his game over the next few years?
He'll get better. I don't know if he's ever going to be. He's not going to be Cale Makar. He's not going to be as good defensively as he is offensively. It's just not him. There's things he can improve on, and he's a better defenseman now than he was a year and a half ago in his own zone. But yeah, he will continue to improve. I don't see him becoming a stalwart defensive player. I think that's just not that's just not in his DNA.
Yeah,
he's got good size and everything. I just see he doesn't hit enough out there as well.
No, he's not physical, but that's things that they're good at and things that they're not good at, and you try to play to your strengths and improve the parts that aren't as good. But he will get better, but I there will be some nights that you're wishing there was more.
Yeah, it's a really good question. I like how Norm puts that because you're right, Rob. To some, you want players to improve, but to some extent, they also are who they are, right? They are who they've been ever since they started playing minor hockey and were really good at one thing, right? That's probably why they kept making the AAA teams and all that kind of stuff. For me, for Bouchard, like I know he's not going to become Scott Stevens or Nurse or Ekholm, you know, to talk about guys on his own team, but – to tie the whole theme of today together, it's just avoid the big mistake. Like, if you're in a tough situation, don't make it worse, right? Like, put yourself between the other guy and the net. Like, I don't think it's unreasonable to ask Bouchard, okay, you know, don't make the big mistake. Make the safe play. Recover to a smart position, things like that.
Yeah, no, you're right. And there was a play tonight where he was forechecked and he just blindly threw it up the boards, turned into a 3-on-2 for the Ottawa Senators. He needs to take that out of his game. Yet tonight, I believe, as he does most nights, now he led the Oilers' defense in ice time. And he had 3 points. And I believe he was even on the night. So at the end of the night, his positives have to outweigh his negatives. And then as a coach, you put him in a position that he can succeed. So, okay, with a minute to go in the third period and you're up a goal, you probably don't have him on the ice. Mm-hmm. But if you're down a goal, you might play him 4 of the last 5 minutes. Put him in a place where what he does well can help you and help your team. But they're 100%. There are parts of his game that will frustrate fans and will frustrate them for a while. But I do see improvement. But we're not going to see I keep looking at Cale Makar because when it comes to points, they're similar. I don't see him being Cale Makar or Quinn Hughes or players of that nature. But he is a guy that's going to be top five in scoring probably every year that he's with the Oilers because of what he can do on the power play and how well he can move the puck.
All right, we'll hear from Connor McDavid. We'll sneak in a couple more phone calls as well. The Oilers lose 5-3 to the Senators. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Live Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Okay, Zach Hyman gets his 50th, but the Oilers lose 5-3 to the Senators. Whenever the Oilers score five or more in a game, we turn on the Japanese Village goal light on 630ched.com. Japanese Village now open for lunch at Edmonton South and West Edmonton Mall, an afternoon celebration for the senses. Visit jvedmonton.ca. So the Oilers outscored 11-6 in two losses this weekend. They play the Jets on Tuesday. The Jets have lost 3 in a row, having been outscored 13-4. So if the teams are flat and sloppy on Tuesday night, Rob, they only have themselves to blame.
Well, you look at two really good teams, Winnipeg and the Oilers are two very good teams. And Tuesday at 11 o'clock at night, one of them will be on a 4-game losing streak or one of them will be on a 3-game losing streak. So it would be an important game for both teams as two struggling teams defensively over the last little bit. We fighting it out for an important 2 points.
Okay, we have Joe on the Certainty Hotline. Joe, go ahead, please.
Hey, fellas, I got a couple quick questions here. First, just watching the game, I'm kind of worried about the goaltending. I don't know if the boys have lost confidence or what, but they look solid there at times, and then tonight kind of showed like we're a little shaky. And question number two, do you think there's anything going on between Leon and Evander?
Well, first of all, I think Pickards has had a great season. I mean, he had a .920 save percentage coming in. I don't think there's any lack of faith in him. Kane and Leon, that's an interesting question. What do you think, Rob?
I have no idea. I've never been in the Oilers dressing room. I don't know. I know that watching the games, I don't see when they've played together lately, I don't see a lot of chemistry. And I'm guessing the coaches haven't either because they haven't put them together very often. As far as their personalities, I have no idea. I saw the same stuff on Sportsnet that you guys did. I've read the same tweets. But in all honesty, I've got no firsthand knowledge at all about their relationship.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, you've talked about it. Players argue, cameras catch a lot these days. Mm-hmm. The thing is, and again, we don't know. We're not in the dressing room. With Kane's history, I mean, let's face it, it hasn't ended well pretty much every team he's been on. I'm not saying that's happened here, but I think that's why we're going to get questions like that, Rob, when we
yeah, 100%.
See something like that. So.
Yeah, there's a history.
Yeah.
He comes with baggage. Everyone knew that when he signed here. Yeah.
And again, his year has been it's been a very up and down. I know he has 21 goals, but he's kind of been, okay, here's a burst of 4 goals in 5 games, or here's 3 weeks of a quiet spell. And he's, I mean, he was, maintenance day was why he was sat out today, but he's been quiet lately offensively, very quiet.
Well, I think it wasn't 16 games. He's got zero goals and 4 assists. So that is a long time.
February 19th.
Yeah, there's been 2 stretches where he was very good. I think at the beginning when the Oilers struggled, there was a stretch for about 8 games where he was their best player, by far their best player. And then there was another stretch where he had a nice little run. But you're right, it's been up and down. It's been feast or famine. There's been games where he is very noticeable, and there's been games that you don't notice him at all. He's a loud player. When Evander's playing well, you notice him because he's loud in everything he does, whether it's physicality, talking, offensive outbursts. The Oilers, if they want to have a long run in the playoffs, I think Evander Kane would have to be a big part of that. And they need more out of him. They need more out of RNH right now, too. I mean, 12 games or 13 games without a goal, he's a big part of this team. So, but I have no idea anything to do with what's going on in the dressing room at all. That's that's not for me to say.
All right. We'll sneak Stan in here quickly before we go to the Connor McDavid postgame. Stan, go ahead, please.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good. Couple of quick ones. Defensively, man, oh, man. I mean, I was at the Colorado game.
Yeah.
And their defensive core are unreal. Their skating and ability to move the puck. Bouchard, I don't know, man. I don't see it in this guy. Offensively, yeah. Right? He's got all the working parts. But defensively, if he gets hit, he's non-existent.
Okay, what's your other point?
The other one is goaltending. When they went into a game in Toronto last night, when Skinner gave up 4 goals, I thought that he should have come out at that point because they were playing Ottawa in a back-to-back game. It would have been nice to start Skinner in this game today instead of Pickard.
Okay. Well, yeah, it was, Coach made a different decision, I guess, there. But
yeah, you and I both said we thought Skinner was going to play today. We were both surprised it was Pickard, but, I mean, Pickard's record, he's deserved of the crease as well. So tonight's game wasn't on Pickard. The Oilers just made some big mistakes.
All right, 5-3 Senators. Here is Captain Connor McDavid.
Connor, what's the initial assessment after a game where you guys held the puck basically all night, but still Ottawa finds a way to take this one?
Yeah, I thought they got timely scoring. You know, obviously felt like we were the better team and had the better chance. You know, held the puck most of the night, but ultimately, you know, they're a skilled team. They capitalize on mistakes, and they did that tonight.
On paper, that power play marker by Drake Batherson followed a questionable call on the ice. What were your thoughts on the call?
Hey, listen, it's you know, it's a hard job that the refs have to do out there. The game's fast. They see things in real time. They don't get to go back and look at things. You know, that's just the way it is, and those calls are going to happen both ways. And like I said, they capitalize on mistakes, and they did that there.
Yeah, when you don't capitalize yourself, you leave yourself open to being victim of maybe a call you didn't like, right?
Yeah.
That shouldn't be the case when you have 36 shots to 16. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Obviously, we would have liked to have put them away, yeah, whenever we had the chance. But, you know, when it's 3-1 there, they find a way to get it to 3-2 right away. And, you know, and then obviously you're playing a game with fire when you're letting a skilled team kind of hang around like that. And, you know, their goalie played well, and they did a good job of collapsing in front of the net and making it hard on us. And, you know, credit to them.
Zach Hyman gets his 50th on a goal that probably sums up the way, you know, the other 49 went in, too. just your thoughts on the team reacting and how it went for you.
Yeah, happy for him, obviously. You know, a cool story, to, you know, from a guy that, you know, was supposed to just be a checker in this league, and not sure if he would ever make it to this league. You know, he worked his way. He's worked for everything he's gotten, and, you know, now he's a 50-goal scorer at the age of 31. It's pretty impressive. It's been cool to see and cool to kind of witness his transition from that to a goal scorer, and everyone's really happy for him.
The way he reacted, everyone on the ice reacted. Does that kind of sum up how he's viewed in this room?
Yeah, everybody loves High, obviously. You know, he's a guy that you know, brings it each and every day, brings energy, brings positivity, brings life into our room, and you know, obviously we're happy for him.
Well, yeah, everybody happy for Zach Hyman. Gets his 50th. Unfortunately, the result of the game does not leave Oil Country very happy. The Senators get the game winner on a power play with 3:03 left in the third. They had an empty netter, 5-3. Ottawa over Edmonton is the final. So two losses in a row for the Oilers. Their record, 42-23-4. You can get more on this game, more on the team on 630ched.com or globalnews.ca. Our next game broadcast, presented by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers, is Tuesday. It will be the struggling Oilers against the struggling Jets, 4:30 faceoff show, and the game will start at 6. Big thanks to Angie Quinnell, our studio producer this afternoon. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. Thanks for listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
McDavid in front. Scores! There it is! 50 for Zach Hyman right at the side of the net, and Edmonton has a 3-1 lead.
Players stoked for Zach Hyman, the relentless work ethic to continuously improve at his craft. Wow. Connor McDavid, Bouchard's third assist of the game. All five Oilers players touched the puck on Hyman's 50th. Absolute beauty.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.